Mark Hancock's America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is Mark Glenn of Crescent and Cross. And if you have not taken a look at that website in the past, that's something that you definitely need to look at in the present and the future in regard to getting all kinds of news stories domestically and internationally that pertain to some of the questions that we've been talking about on the air today. Mark, go ahead with your reaction to Roger's question, if you would.
Yeah, he makes a very good point, which is this business of eschatology and playing around with words. Now that this disaster that is taking place in Iraq is becoming unavoidable for anybody, you know, we can't avoid noting it now, look who's getting the blame for it, okay? Look at the words that are used, the way that these people play with words, the neocon, okay? As if conservatism and Christian conservative types are the ones to blame for this, when really what we're talking about are Jewish gangsters. When we're talking about men like Pearl and Wolfowitz, Spice, and Abrams, and all of these other guys who are responsible for bringing this ugly thing into the world, it's the quote-unquote Christian conservatives that are getting the heat for it. Now, in terms of eschatology, playing around with words, we have to remember that this is not something new, okay? When we look back at the contest of wills that was taking place 2,000 years ago in this place known as Israel between this man named Jesus and his enemies known as the Pharisees, this is a common theme that Jesus brought up when warning people about the dangers of Phariseeism. He talked about how they will play with words, how they will twist things around in order to justify some evil idea or evil agenda that these men were pushing forth. And it's the same today. When we're dealing with these people, they are masters at playing with words. Now, in terms of, you know, Roger brought up specifically some of these ideas, some of these sound bites that are floated around in front of us, such as, you know, I will bless those who bless thee and curse those who curse thee. You know, we have to, when we're dealing with these very rigidly closed minds on the part of our, whether they're relatives or friends on the Christian right, who are avowed Christian Zionists, you know, you have to tell them, listen, you can't just grab one little sound bite or one little phrase without contextualizing it and looking at, you know, what came before it and what went after it. You know, I see hear this all the time from people. Well, we have to support Israel because it says in the Old Testament, I will bless those who bless thee and curse those who curse thee. Well, if we look at the particular passage where this is used, God isn't talking about Israel. God is talking about Abraham and his descendants, okay? Interestingly enough, Abraham's descendants also include the Arabs, okay? So if we're going to be talking about blessing and cursing, that means we have to include the Arabs in this as well. That's one thing to keep in mind. The other thing to keep in mind is this. God spits Israel out of his mouth time and time again because of their wickedness. Anybody who buys into this heretical notion that the Jews are God's chosen people and that they can do whatever they want, they need to sit down sometime and first of all read their Gospels and see what it was that Jesus had to say about the Jewish people and the Jewish leaders of his time. And secondly, read the book of Jeremiah. Okay, it's one of those books in the Old Testament. Some falls somewhere right in the middle. And the prophet Jeremiah, in his book, it is 40 chapters, roughly 40 chapters, of him cursing the Jewish people and cursing the tribe, the group of people collectively who we call Israel.
We will be back with Mark Glenn of Crescent and Cross, and Mark Dancos America returns live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Potentially, we're, I guess, going to be talking about the whole question of Abraham's descendants physically and his descendants spiritually, and then talk a little bit about this coming war with Iran. Stay tuned.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49. Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
Available from the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Now you have the time to review every spoken word
on any RBN program
by ordering CDs of any broadcast in either standard audio or MP3 format. Audio CDs are just $10 per hour.
$15 for 2 hours.
And $7 when you order 3 or more hours. An entire month of your favorite broadcaster in MP3 format for just $20. So order right, Republic Broadcasting. 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. That address again is Republic Broadcasting, 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Or for more information, call 1-800-724-2719.
And on the web at rbnlive.com.
Order your CDs today because you can handle the truth.
Mark Ancos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is Mark Glenn of Crescent and Cross. Mark, we were talking a little bit before the break about this non-contextualization of many people in terms of their interpretation of Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, and then getting into a little bit of the evaluation of Jesus Christ, of this whole business of the descendants of Abraham, vis-a-vis the spiritual descendants or the true sons of Abraham. Go ahead.
Well, actually, I think I'm going to let you take it from there since I said a mouthful before.
Well, you know, I think that pretty much says it in summary. And to me, again, the whole question of the utilization of Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, on the part of John Hagee of Cornerstone Church in San Antonio and Falwell and Robertson and others is quite clearly taking that passage completely out of context, ignoring the specific reasons that are cited biblically, just as one example of the Babylonian exile in the Old Testament, and then certainly the copious references in the Gospel of John, among many places in the New Testament, where Jesus provides an excoriating critique of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and those who rely upon their alleged connection to Abraham as racial descendants, while rejecting the true fulfillment of the Abrahamic covenant, who is Jesus Christ. And then, of course, the all of the stuff that is discussed in the New Testament epistles in regard to who and what it is that constitutes the Israel of God today. Quite clearly, in terms of traditional Christian eschatology, was the confessing Church of Jesus Christ comprised of whomever racially. So this gets into all kinds of derivative questions when we get back once again to what seems to be the complete co-optation of the mainstream Christian right, their leaders at least, in regard to the whole issue of the modern Zionist state of Israel and their conspiracy of silence on such topics as the Jewish mafia and the disproportionate Jewish role in America and the pornography industry. Getting back again to what we were talking about a little bit earlier, Nathan Abrams, who again is a professor at Aberdeen University in Scotland, has an article from the Jewish Quarterly in the UK in 2005, pages 27 through 30, entitled Jews in the American Pornography Industry. And coming down the page here, he cites Al Goldstein of SCREW magazine, saying some incredibly profane things, blasphemous things about Christianity generally and Roman Catholicism specifically, and the fact that for Goldstein and some of these other Jewish pornographers, it was not simply a question of the amount of money that could be made in the pornography industry, but the fact that there was a specifically targeted anti-Christian agenda being promoted culturally and economically and politically by American Jews. And it seems that that Nathan Abrams in the Jewish Quarterly in the UK in 2005 basically affirms that that's what is going on, as he in turn reviews Jay Gertzman's book, Bootleggers and Smuthounds, The Trade in Erotica, 1920 to 1940. And one quote in this whole book review came out at me with a vengeance. Abraham Foxman, the national director of the Anti-Defamation League, which is an organization that it seems that John Hagee and Jerry Falwell and Pat Robertson and some of the other moguls of the so-called American Christian right bow in obeisance before on an annual basis. Foxman is quoted in this review by Nathan Abrams as saying, quote, "Those Jews who enter the pornography industry have done so as individuals pursuing the American dream," unquote. I can't imagine that the mainstream moguls of the Christian right would let anyone get away with saying that. The fact that they're letting Foxman get away with saying that unchallenged, I think, is suggestive of what we need to evaluate in the future in regard to anything that Hagee and Falwell and Robertson and these other people have to say on the subject of Zionism, on the subject of this burgeoning impending war with Iran, or on the whole question of Christian-Jewish relationships in the United States. What do you think, Mark?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's put this thing in perspective. You know, it's not just pornography, Mark, okay? It is abortion. It is the gay rights movement. And I mean, I'm talking some of the most militant and the most extreme aspects of this. You have groups like NAMBLA who advocate, legalizing sexual relations between adults and children as young as 8 years old.
Okay, that's the so-called North American Man-Boy Love Association?
Exactly. And,
yes.
And there is a common pattern to all of this. When we do a little bit of honest investigation into all of these extremist, radical, leftist groups, anti-Christian groups, there is a common thread to all of it, which is this thing that you mentioned before, this disproportionate number, disproportionate amount of Jewish influence in these things. Now, you know, this forces us to ask some pretty tough questions, okay? You know, we would certainly like to see these things as just being an accident or a coincidence, but when we take into account the essence of what the Judaic religion teaches, the essence of the Judaic mindset, and we understand that ever since the time of Jesus, the Judaic mindset in its essence has been anti-Christianity, okay? It's not an accident that for 3 years while Jesus was performing his public ministry, his biggest enemies were the Jews and the Jewish leaders themselves. And it has not changed in the 2,000 years that has passed since then. And so the fact that you have these men who are supposed to be our leaders on the Christian right who refuse to acknowledge this and, in fact, run a protection racket for these individuals whose main goal is to tear down all of the institutions and structures that have been built upon Christian thinking, then you come to understand then what Jesus' thrust was. When he was warning us about the end times, and he was talking about that there would be these false prophets and these false shepherds who were going to come and who were going to try to deceive us.
Yes, and do you think it's fairly accurate to say that in terms of that eschatological warning, which is quite clearly there in the Olivet Discourse in Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21, that in fact Jesus had in mind, speaking of false prophets, speaking of deception and so forth, that the very thing that you're talking about is at the center of this deception?
Absolutely. I mean, I prefer to call it this thing called Caiaphas' revenge. Okay, if we really as Christians want to understand why we have lost our culture, why we have lost our civilization, our country, why we are murdering 5,000 unborn children a day just in America alone, okay? We cannot understand this without understanding, first of all, the contest of ideas that took place between Jesus and his enemies 2,000 years ago. And in addition to that, what constitutes modern Judaic thinking? And, you know, this is a topic that, you know, people, they really don't want to get into that. They want to talk about Zionism. They want to talk about the neocons. But as soon as we start getting into that business of discussing Judaic thinking, they run for cover. And understandably, I mean, these people are very powerful. They are very vicious. All we need to do, is look at what they have done to people in the past. I mean, Jesus himself. As followers, and then, of course, in our own day, we have men like Mel Gibson and others who dared to come out and expose the inner workings of the synagogue. And so unless we are brave enough to go about the business of deconstructing this and studying its real essence, what the real cause of it is, if we are unwilling to do that, then we are simply spinning our wheels.
Yes. We have some callers. Bob in Texas, you're on the line for Mark Glenn. Go ahead, sir.
Hi, Mark. And Mark.
Hey.
First, let me mention that I've been wanting to make this phone call for a long time, but the segue into this that you made when you referred to John Hagee and just now when you were mentioning the synagogue, Mark, I had called you when you were on Frank Whalen's program some time ago and had mentioned to you the name of the teacher of the newly arrived captives from Judah, and his name was Ashpenaz, which
right.
is a single letter variant from Ashkenaz, who is the actual, it's where the Ashkenazi Jews get their name.
Mm-hmm.
And when you go to, you know, I heard Pastor Hagee on, well, first I heard him on Mike Savage's show. Mike Savage is actually a Jew named Wiener. And I heard him on there discussing Ezekiel 37, 38, and Armageddon. And he's trying to describe a situation, first of all, that doesn't exist in Israel. He says that they will be attacked while, you know, and they're in a land of unwalled villages, and they're at peace and asleep. And what I'm trying to point out here is that he uses Ezekiel 37, 38 publicly on the radio and then doesn't read the whole scripture. And the enemies that are going to attack Israel are all relatives of Ashkenaz, who is a descendant of Japheth, which is where these Ashkenazi Jews come from. Okay. And for a long time through my studies, I kept thinking, you know, I know this goes back to Babylon. I know it goes back to Babylon. All of this is Babylon because the entire system we live in is Babylonian by nature. Our money system, our fake money, our credit system, all of it, contracts, all of this came out of Babylon. And when Mark mentioned that there's something about the synagogue, there was no synagogue until the return to Jerusalem from the captivity.
Good point.
We will be back on Mark Dankoff's America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Mark Glenn may have some further comments for Bob in Texas, and then we've got three other callers. Stay tuned.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Would you enjoy a career where you pick your hours, work for who you want to, when you want to, as much as you want to? No one knows about this hidden career because there is no book, school, or teaching material available. Until now. Learn the trade of window painting. Window Genie is now offering a three-day workshop on DVD that shows you how to reproduce art, text, and graphics professionally, even if you can't draw a stick man. Secrets, cheater techniques, shortcuts, tips, and tricks are all revealed. Recoup your investment in as little as one job and have a career for life. This training also gives you the skills to do regular sign work, indoor murals, and signage. Begin your new career today. Just call us at 780-457-7109 or visit us at windowgenie.com. Again, that's windowgenie, spelled J-E-A-N-N-I-E.com.
Back. This is Mark Hancock's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, in the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is Mark Glenn of Crescent and Cross. Mark, did you have any further comments for Bob in Texas?
Yeah, I think that he makes some excellent points here, particularly for those people who, they are interested in the history of this thing. I can certainly understand why there may be people who would be intimidated from delving too deeply into a lot of this information. It's like any other event in history. You know, there are great dangers associated with taking too simplistic of an understanding of it. For me personally, I tend to rely on two main time periods when I want to understand what's going on in the world today. The first time period, of course, is that time period where of 3 years where Jesus of Nazareth was out warning people about the dangers of this thing known as Phariseeism. And then the second time period I would consider to be of utmost importance is the last 100 years, as the Jewish writer Yuri Slezkind notes, as the Jewish century. There has never been a period of time that has been more tumultuous than the last 100 years, in terms of economics, politics, war, culture, civilization, religion, whatever you want to call it. And the common thread that is running through all of this is that, as you pointed out, Mark, there is this disproportionate amount of influence that the Jewish people play in this. And so that is what, I certainly applaud what Bob had to say. He is 100% correct in what he is saying. But in terms, like I said, in terms of bringing it to the average layman, hoping to rouse these, particularly these Christian Zionists, out of this stupor that they are, they found themselves in, I think that the best thing to do is to point out that this is what Jesus had to say about these things, and here is the proof of this as it exists today. Look at what has happened in the last century. All of these things that he warned us were going to take place if we took our eye off of our enemy, they are taking place before us right now.
Yes, the other thing I was going to mention in regard to Bob's comments is that dispensationalism has a particular take on Ezekiel chapter 36, 37, 38, and 39 that is not necessarily shared by a non-dispensational understanding of the scriptures and of prophecy, and that adds another point to that mix as well. Don in Ohio, you're on the line for Mark Glenn. Go ahead, sir.
Yes. Am I there?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Do you think that Christianity acquiesced, basically putting the holy days supposedly, or you know, on a Sunday instead of Saturday, making the Jews closer to God because you know they kept the day holy?
Can you rephrase the question?
Okay.
Or
yeah.
Ask it again?
Well, Saturday is
Mark.
Saturday would be considered, you know, the actual day that, if I understand correctly, that God wanted to keep holy, correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And do you think that the Christians basically acquiesced Saturday to be, you know, like second-class citizens because we didn't keep the, that as a holy day? Instead, we went to Sunday being, you know, further away from what God wanted.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay, as far as acquiescing, no, you have to understand a lot of what happened in the early history of the Christian church. You know, for example, you know, when the Christians were forced to live within the confines of the Roman Empire, where they had these very these days of pagan worship and pagan celebration, you know, the winter solstice and the summer solstice, things like that, the Christian churches, what they would do is that they would take, as the empire was falling apart, the Christians would take these days that were reserved for pagan worship, and they would graft holy days onto them because they knew that trying to get these Romans to abandon these days of celebration, that was just too far of a bridge to cross. And so instead, they grafted onto these celebrations Christian holidays. And so, in terms of the Sabbath being moved to Sunday, you know, honestly, I'm not an authority on that. From what I understand, Sunday was chosen because this was the day that Jesus rose from the dead. I don't know that it was an act of acquiescence per se, but I'm sure that there are probably, you know, who would probably know that answer would be Ted Pike. He would probably be a better authority on that than I would. Unless Mark, unless you have an answer for that.
No, I'm certainly not an authority on that, and Ted Pike is somebody that I'm going to be having on the show in the future. We'll give him a call and get him on here. Don, if you're listening, keep that in mind. When I have Ted on the show, let's run that question by him and see what he says in regard to it.
Okay, if I'm not here, try to bring it up.
Yeah, sure will. Thanks, Don.
Bye.
Phil in Florida, you're on the line for Mark Glenn. Go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon. I have several points to make now when you hit the commercial. I hope you don't cut me off. Let's start with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Abraham was the father of, looks like we're going now, huh?
Yeah, hold on, Phil. Stay on the line and we'll get you after the break's completed. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Back with Mark Glenn of Crescent and Cross when we return. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
KU-Band Satellite is here. RBN is now offering a brand new way to hear your favorite programs. Listening to RBN via satellites is easy on the ears. Clean digital audio combined with consistently reliable reception anywhere in North America. KU utilizes a 30-inch dish and receiver similar to the equipment the subscription satellite TV services use. In fact, this satellite receiver also picks up a lot of television and music channel programming, even other talk radio networks. All of this with absolutely no monthly subscription fees, ever. Take advantage of our introductory offer and order your KU dish receiver today for only $149 plus shipping and handling, and begin enjoying our highest quality audio available 365 days a year. Visit our website, www.rbnlive.com, for more information, or call 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Clean, consistent, and affordable.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Mark Ancoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Phil in Florida, you had some points before the break that you wanted to bring before Mark Glenn. Go ahead, Phil.
Yeah, okay, thank you. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Abraham, as you've already stated, was the father of Ishmael, who is the father of the 12 Arab tribes, and Abraham was also the father of Isaac, who is the father of Jacob, who is the father of the 12 tribes of Israel. Okay. Then you go to Genesis 12:3. I'll bless those that bless you and curse those that curse thee. And he's talking to Abraham, who wasn't Abraham at the time, I don't believe. He's talking to Abram, and he's talking about his descendants. Now, his descendants are the Israelites through Jacob, and also the 12 tribes out of Ishmael. He wasn't talking about Jews per se. Some Jews came out of the tribe of Judah, which was the 12th son, I believe, of of Jacob. They went apostate and joined with others, apparently. The first mention I can find of Jews in the King James Bible is in 2 Kings 16:6. All right, then we go 1948. I was a young man then, 20 years old. America was the wealthiest, most powerful, kindest nation in the world. And that year we recognized Israel, God's enemy. And ever since then we've gone downhill, and the Jews have taken over this country through the treachery and the treason of our own politicians. We're now down where Deuteronomy 28 says we would be if we forgot our God, which we did. And Tex Mars came out with one heck of a tape. You fellows might have seen it. The Tower of Infamy. And in there he shows where Billy Graham, Pat Robertson, Robert Schuller, and a couple of those guys are 33rd degree Masons, and they're given their Masonic signs, you know, in their photographs, so everybody that is a Mason recognizes who they are. And they are the ones that are backing Israel because they're not Christians, they're Masons. And what is a Mason? He's a 33rd degree Mason at any rate, they're Antichrist. And the media ownership. When I was young, at the end of the world, Second World War, we were a Christian nation, and nation meaning race. We were the white race was the race of this country. Rightly or wrongly, the blacks were second class citizens. The white man ruled this country. Now, through the treason of our elected officials and the ownership of all the media concentrated in the hands of a few Jews, we have become an apostate country. We are a racial battleground anymore. We're not a nation anymore. We are a country of largely apostate people. There's every anti-Christian organization around. I think your guest said that about the abortions and the pornography and pedophilia and whatnot. Behind every one of these anti-Christian things, you'll find a Jew or Jew organization. Their aim is to destroy this country, destroy Christianity, separate the people from Christianity and Christianity from the country, in order to impose their ideas and their desires, which are to kill off the Christians.
Mark, let's take just one of Phil's points there for the sake of time. This whole thing with Freemasonry, what role does that play in all this? What is the relationship, as you understand it, of Freemasonry to Judaism? What role does Freemasonry play in this larger issue of the New World Order?
Well, you have people who will concentrate on Freemasonry and kind of, shove Judaism and its effects over the whole thing into the background. But the thing that we have to keep in mind is that Freemasonry is a tool of Judaism. 300-plus years ago, when Europe was still a Christian civilization, the Jews knew that they could not operate out in the open because any more than a wolf knew that he could not live among the sheep and that the sheep would allow him to do what he wanted to do. And so what happened is that these, what I call, the descendants of the Pharisees, they, knowing that they could not operate out in the open, they created these secret societies by which they could effect their agenda, but doing so behind the scenes. If you look at, for the most part, with, a few exceptions, such as the ADL, that is a Jewish Freemasonic organization. For the most part, they are Gentile secret societies who carry themselves, comport themselves as if they were Christian. And so certainly Freemasonry has a lot to do with it, but in essence, Freemasonry in and of itself is just crypto-Judaism. Most of the principles of Freemasonry, in one way or another, when you trace them back to their origins, they go back to this occultic, Babylonian, Kabbalistic, Judaistic way of thinking. If you look at the symbols of Freemasonry, they are all Judaic, Kabbalistic symbols. Even the main symbol of Freemasonry itself, you have the a set of two triangles sitting atop of each other. That is just an incomplete Star of David, if you look at it. All that's missing are the two horizontal lines that would connect the two outward points of each of these triangles. And so that is something that we have to keep in mind, especially when you have a lot of people out there who are making a big to-do about Freemasonry, and then they're dragging the Jesuits and the Vatican into this and all the rest of that stuff. What we have to understand is that Freemasonry and the Freemasons certainly play a very important role in this, but no more important than somebody, for example, like George Bush. You see, he's out there as a puppet doing the will of his masters. And by the same token, when we look at the effect and the influence of Freemasonry on all of this, really what it is that it is just a tool for the Judaic agenda.
Yes, and you know what is interesting again is as one looks at all of this is the absolutely secretive, covert character of it, and the fact that so many people, for whatever reason, look at the present administration within through the lenses of the American flag and through the lenses of a particular view of Christianity that is being promulgated certainly by people like Falwell and Robertson and John Hagee. And that worldview does not even begin to touch upon this whole issue of Zionism or Freemasonry or the way in which the current administration quite clearly, just taking a look at this North American Union, for example, the so-called Security and Prosperity Partnership deal that Bush has concocted with Vicente Fox and with the Prime Minister of Canada going back to March of last year, we're moving toward a full-blown world government. And we have this great irony, once again, of people in the mainstream Christian right supporting a president and supporting a political party and supporting an economic and political structure that undergirds it that is moving us in the direction of a one-world government, which is the antithesis of what the average Christian in this country would believe if you were to ask he or she on the street.
Yes, that's true. And, you know, I'd like to go back to something that Phil mentioned earlier when he was talking about the creation of Israel in 1948. And I would direct my following comments to those Christians out there who say that the recreation of the State of Israel in 1948 was an act by God and it was blessed by God. To those Christians who believe this, answer this question for me. Who was it? By whose will was it that Israel was destroyed in 70 A.D. Keep in mind as well that Christ, you know, a few days before he was crucified by these people, he sat and wept over Jerusalem and predicted what was going to happen to her as a result of her rebelliousness. Now, to those Christians out there who support the creation of Israel, how can you support this thing and at the same time believe that its destruction 2,000 years ago occurred by the hand of God as a judgment for her rebelliousness, and at the same time now you are going to support mankind's decision to undo that which God has already decided? You see what I'm saying? When
yes.
We look at the tumultuousness of the last 50 years and the fact that you've got one group of people in one geographic location that seems to be the epicenter of it, intelligent people need to see that there's a connection to this. Why is it that the world and all of the order that has been constructed in the last 2,000 years is being torn down simultaneously with the fact that, in essence, God's judgment has been undone by mankind's decision? You see what I'm saying, Mark?
Yes, absolutely.
Yes,
in essence, you have a situation where there were certain reasons, biblically, that are quite clearly outlined by Christ in the Olivet Discourse and his prophecy that the Romans would sack Jerusalem and destroy the temple, and that when one understands the reasons why Jesus issued that prophecy and that judgment against the Jewish nation, it seems to me that the conditions that led to that judgment in A.D. 70 have not changed in regard to the character of Israel, the Zionist state of Israel, from 1948 onward. In other words, the people on the Christian right that talk about this in terms of covenant and in terms of land and so forth and so on, failed to get at the bottom of the fact that the disobedience that resulted in the judgments in both 586 B.C. and 70 A.D., are the conditions that still exist with contemporary Zionism today.
Not only that, let me go one step further, okay?
Sure.
In my opinion, not only was this a judgment upon the Jewish people for the rebelliousness, it was also a blessing on the part of those who were the victims of Jewish tyranny at the time. Okay, God knew that the most dangerous thing that could exist for mankind, and in particular, mankind trying to live according to Christian principles, the most dangerous situation that could exist would be for these people, known as the Jews, to have their own country. Because when they have their own country, they have sovereignty. They have a place where they can hide, a place where they can use as their base of operations. And so when you have a group of people who are possessed by a criminal mindset and who have a criminal agenda, the worst thing that you can do is to give them a country, give them a legislature, and give them a military by which they can project their power and their agenda. And this is basically, you know, what has been done is that 2,000 years ago, this beast was caged, put into a cage, and then 60-something years ago, the very people who were rescued from this went and unlocked the cage and let the beast out again.
Well, that's fascinating. You know, I have never quite looked at that in that way before, and that is a very, very interesting take on this. In essence, what you're saying then, Mark, is that the judgment of A.D. 70, when the Romans sacked Jerusalem and destroyed the Jewish temple, that judgment, which was prophesied clearly by Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 24, that was not simply a judgment upon the Jews of the first century for their rebellion against God's Messiah, but that in essence it was a protective intervention on the part of God from the cultural and economic and spiritual and political forces that would be reconstituted with a man-made decision to rebuild this nation on the same faulty premises in 1948.
That's exactly right. Who gives a country to somebody like Al Capone and his gang? Who gives a country to them to where they don't have to worry about any kind of legal repercussions to their actions? It's a disaster. Only a madman would participate in something like this, and yet the Christian world has willingly allowed this thing to be reconstituted. The very thing that almost snuffed out their the existence of their religion and of their forefathers, they have allowed this beast to be reconstituted, allowed out of its cage, and now we are seeing the effects of it. I mean, it is no accident that we see the destruction of Christian culture across all spectrums at the same time that we see the recreation of this state of Israel, because these people now are emboldened. They know that they have a place where they can run and hide. For the last 2,000 years, they've had to mind their P's and Q's and watch what they did, because they knew that they didn't have a place where they could find any kind of protection. You see, now they have that place, and we see it in the news every day. Every day there is some kind of a criminal act taking place, and what does the person do? He immediately gets on a plane and he heads to Israel, where he knows he's going to be safe.
Yes. Well, speaking of potential criminal acts, let's go back full circle to this whole business of Iran. In Linda Hurd's article today in the online journal talking about an op-ed piece entitled Iran Backed Dangerously into a Corner. In terms of her analysis of what's happening, I think it would definitely square with yours and mine, Mark, in principle, in regard to what seems to be a decision that has already been made, I'm going to suggest, in regard to an impending American, British, and potentially Israeli attack on Iran. Do you think that this is going to happen? And if it does happen, in conjunction with some of the things that you and Michael Collins Piper have talked about recently, what do you think is going to be the end game of this? What's going to be the fallout from this catastrophe, if you had to guess?
Well, certainly all the indicators are that it is going to happen. We basically see a replay of what happened in the lead up to this present invasion in Iraq. I'll finish my comments when we come back.
Yes, we will be back with Mark Glenn of Crescent and Cross to talk about this impending war with Iran. And Mark Dankos America returns live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Do you suffer from frequent and severe headaches? Well, you don't have to any longer. Headache Stay Gone is an all-natural headache remedy that is free of all side effects. Headache Stay Gone will cure any headache and prevent it from returning again. Painkillers can offer temporary relief at best, along with a long list of harmful side effects. Headache Stay Gone uses all natural ingredients and cures your headache, letting you enjoy more time with your family and loved ones. We'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone today and send you the bill. Wait until your headache is cured before you pay for it. That's right, Headache Stay Gone must work for you before you pay for it. Try Headache Stay Gone risk-free by calling 1-800-327-0727 or visit www.headachestaygone.com. Again, that's 1-800-327-0727. And don't forget to ask about your risk-free trial today. Call now. Start living life without the headaches.
Attention, attention everyone. A brand new invention just released. It's called WristEase, the new patented portable ergonomic wrist support. WristEase comforts your wrists from the sometimes painful tasks of typing, writing, using a mouse or adding machine. Unlike most conventional wrist pads that are either attached to a mouse pad or lay flat in front of your keyboard, WristEase is totally portable and ideal for laptop users and technicians who are constantly on the go. WristEase is perfect for children doing homework or playing video games. WristEase provides the proper comfort and support for all ages and makes a great stocking stuffer. Honest, WristEase provides comfort for victims of carpal tunnel syndrome and other repetitive injuries. You can order WristEase now at WristEase.com. That's WristEase, W-R-I-S-T-E-A-S-E, WristEase.com. Once again, WristEase.com.
Mark Dankos America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined today by Mark Glenn of Crescent and Cross. Mark, in reference to Linda Hurd's op-ed piece today for Online Journal entitled Iran Being Backed Dangerously into a Corner, you seem to think, as I certainly think, that this thing is going to happen. What do you think is going to be the fallout, and can there, if it does happen, can there be anything positive that comes out of this dreadful circumstance?
No. I don't want to – two things that you should never do is to say always and never whenever trying to predict, you know, human events and things like that. But nevertheless, you know, my gut tells me that this thing is – it's going to be really bad. My personal prediction is that Iran already has the bomb. She has a close working relationship with Russia. Russia is not going to take lightly the fact that America and Israel are in her back door, so close to her interests. And, you know, the fact of the matter is that we can't even fight this war in Iraq. And so what it indicates to me that if Bush and the rest of his people, if they are willing to go through with this, what tells me is that they are not thinking clearly, which means you have got a madman scenario on your hands, and we know how this ends. I mean, when a person can't win a battle by conventional means, then they're gonna go to non-conventional. And I think that just the shock to world markets alone. I mean, we can already see the effects of this when there's just the rumors of war. We can see the effects that this is having on the world markets and things like that. And I'm not even talking about the human toll. So, but at the same time, you know, one thought that I would like to leave you and your listeners with is this. You know, there's always this other card in the deck, which is God's card. And if we are willing to prostrate ourselves, humble ourselves before God and to beg him to give us a miracle of some sort, you know, Christ said, ask and you shall receive. You know, what father, when his son asks him for bread, gives him a stone? And so if there are enough of us who are willing to do whatever the meager means we have of standing up against this thing and trying to live according to the way that our Father intends us to live, then he will bless us in some way. Remember Jesus' first miracle when he was at the wedding feast of Cana, and they ran out of wine. And his mother came to him and said, they've run out of wine. And he said, woman, why do you trouble with me with this? It's not my time yet. But nevertheless, he performed this miracle, even though it was not on his schedule. So I think that the lesson that we're supposed to learn from that is don't assume anything. Don't assume the worst. Assume, have faith and confidence that God will answer our prayers. And it just may very well be that we are on the cusp of seeing the victory of good over evil by this, by seeing, you know, the greatest miracle that will take place in mankind's history. If there are enough of us who are willing to do the seemingly futile business of living the kind of lives that God wants us to lead. And so what I'm saying in effect is, pray.
Yes. Mark Glenn of Crescent and Cross, thank you for being on Mark Dankoff's America Today. Mark, I sent you an email in regard to something that we discussed last night. I'll be interested to see what you think of the email off record. This is Mark Dankoff's America signing off today from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Enjoy these final days of peace in 2006 and pray. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Can we talk?
Can we talk?
Can we talk about gun control?
Gun control?
Seems like it should work, doesn't it?
It should work.
You'd think so. Yeah.
Pass the right laws.
Pass the right laws.
And you can disarm the criminals.
You disarm them.
That's the idea.
But the problem is...
The problem?
Criminals don't obey the law.
They don't obey the law.
That's true.
After all, they're criminals.
They're criminals.
Criminals. They'll always find a way to get guns.
No matter how many laws you pass.
Which means
they still have guns.
They still have guns. While the rest of us...
The rest of us?
The rest of us are just left defenseless.
Americans who own guns
People like you and me prevent over 1 million violent crimes every year. Get the facts on gun control. Visit armedandsecure.org. That's armedandsecure.org.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.